Shall we now turn to read God's Word? And our reading this evening is in the book of Revelation and the chapter 21. There are many different references I would have gone to, like to have gone to read in the light of our meditation tonight in God's keeping safe of His people. But I want to come to this one particularly in the book of Revelation and chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels who had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a great, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gate, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of 1 pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them who are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen, and may God add his blessing and grant to us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our praise, coming this time to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and we'll read from verse 34. Wait in the Lord and keep his way, and thee exalt shall he. The earth to inherit when cut off, the wicked thou shalt see. I saw the wicked great in power, spread like a green bay tree. He passed, yea, was not. Him I sought but found, he could not be. And then perhaps we'll sing from verse 37 to the end. Mark thou the perfect, and behold the man of uprightness. Because that surely of this man the latter end is peace. But those men that transgressors are shall be destroyed together. The latter end of wicked men shall be cut off forever. But the salvation of the just is from the Lord above. He in the time of their distress their stay and strength doth prove. The Lord shall help and them deliver. He shall them free and save from wicked men, because in him their confidence they have. Psalm 37 from verse 37. Mark thou the perfect. I want to turn now to the book of Jude, that short epistle that comes just before the book of Revelation. So if you go to the book of Jude, that one chapter, and I want to read the last two verses of that book and chapter. So it's the general epistle of Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to prevent and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. This morning we were looking back just over a few days or a couple of weeks only. And we have the assessment that God gives us from Isaiah 55, which identifies and sets out the way in which whenever we are chasing after the things that this world offers, we will never be fully satisfied and we will never reach that peace that we're looking for. There will always be that frustration and emptiness following us. And Isaiah 55 challenges and says, why are you spending your labor for that which satisfies not? Why are you spending your money for that which will not give you that peace that you're looking for? And so we had, looking back over these last few days, weeks, an assessment of all the activity and the effort that's been deployed. An assessment of all the hopes and expectations that have been raised. And the way in which that chapter in Isaiah points us to the Saviour, who alone has the gift of abundant life. But when we hear of that word, he has the gift of abundant life, he is not using the measure, the standards, or the norms of men. When you speak of an abundance of life, people might think it's just simply more of the same that they've got round about them. But when the Lord and the Bible and the Scripture speak about abundance of life, he's not thinking, and the Gospel is not speaking of material or of physical things and along these physical lines. When the Bible speaks of an abundance of life, the Bible is speaking on a spiritual scale. And our God is addressing a vital part of our life and of our character, which we so often neglect. The Lord, the Saviour, our Bibles deal with the wrong things in our lives. The things that trouble us. The things that disturb us. The things that we cannot escape from, nor can we quieten them down. Even when we are alone, we are still there disturbed. Perhaps especially when we are alone is the time when we can be disturbed. And into that experience you and I have, and others round about us have as well, into that kind of situation, speaking as the Bible does of the emptiness and the futility of life, it comes with its own answer to that emptiness and speaks of and points us to the Saviour, who deals, yes, with the wrong things in our lives, but also deals with and has obtained pardon. A pardon for those things that trouble us, and he is able, and he alone is able, to quieten them down in our conscience and deal with them finally and fully and forever. And as he does that, so that his peace comes to his people. And when that peace is experienced and possessed, truly, it is a precious experience. So that's what we were looking at this morning, a reflection going back just over a few days, a few weeks. But now tonight I want to use that same word to describe what we're exercising ourselves in, but I want to extend the scope of what we're going to look at. I want us to look further. Look further back. I want us to look wider to the sides, to see the broader run and scope of our life. I want us to look at the broad journey we've been on as we've travelled thus far along the road of time. As we come to the end of 2012, we know what's going to happen. It's already started in these last few days. No doubt we'll hear more of it tomorrow. There's going to be these reflections on who's been the star and who's contributed the best and who's done the most and such like in so many different fields and areas. Acknowledging those who have helped. Not necessarily those who are always in the public eye. There we have in the New Year's honour list. One old lady dealing with sheep, we saw her in the news, in the media yesterday. Just somebody local in her own community. But somebody who's helped, and that help has been acknowledged. Somebody else who's made a contribution, be it in the realm of sport or of business. And each one of them been awarded, acknowledged, and given some kind of an honour. That's the kind of reflection we're having in these days. Well, if that's what they're doing, I want us to do something similar tonight ourselves. I want us to look down the road that we've travelled. And I want us to draw our own conclusion from what we discover and revisit and remember. And I want to do that using these words of this text for our reading, from our reading tonight. I want us to think particularly of now, to him that is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless, to the only wise God be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. And the first simple thought that we can get out of these verses is the way in which the Lord God is the protection for and of his people. That's the way verse 24 starts. He is able. He is able to keep us. So as we look down the road that we've journeyed, we can see that countless times in many different experiences and settings. Yes, the Lord has kept me there and there and there. He is able to keep his people from falling. It's not something that applies only in the past, as if the power of God has been eclipsed or has been run down in any way. He is doing it, and he is able to do it still now today. It's not something that's going to happen in the future, that we are still developing and moving towards that experience. No. This is something that happens right now where we are, where God's people are. There is no limit to his power. One problem that we often have in our Christian life, it comes from time to time to almost every one of us. Sometimes we think that our God is too small. Sometimes we think that the bounds of God's ability and resource are set by what we see round about us, what we've got to face, cope with and overcome. And sometimes we think that that sets the limits of our God. But remember what the prophet Jeremiah records for us. Is there anything too hard for our God? His love and his compassion for his people are wrapped around with almighty power and strength. The one chapter that I often go back to, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7, reads like this. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. These were not the criteria the Lord used in choosing them. He simply loved them. But what are the practical consequences of that? When you read that very same chapter and come down to chapter 7 and this time down to verses 17. If you say in your heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? I'm fighting against these nations. How can I overcome them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt remember well what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all of Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people whom thou art afraid. The power of God protecting those people whom he loves. We can break that down very simply into little headings or examples or illustrations to remember and to apply to ourselves. He is mighty to save, yes. Go back to the example of Daniel in chapter 3 and 17, where we had the three believers in the fiery furnace because of their testimony for God. And there in Daniel 3 and 17, there is a simple testimony given. God is able to deliver us. God protects his people. Sometimes he delivers us before the trial comes upon us. But there are times when we've actually got to go into the trial. And sometimes we can be anxious and apprehensive about going into it. But here we are told that yes, the Lord keeps them safe even as they go through it. Faithfulness to the Lord. Faithfulness to the Lord can get us into trouble. When we stand up and speak out for him, that can bring unknown and untold problems to us. But just like these people in Daniel 3, we can look to the Lord with a confidence that He will deliver us. He is able. Not only that, but He's also able, and He often does surprise us. Ephesians chapter 3, at the end of that chapter in verse 20, it says, "Now unto Him who is able to do above what we can ask or think." The way in which God comes and surprises us. He's able to surprise His people. Something round the corner of life might come upon us totally unexpectedly. We feel perhaps that we're unable to cope as we did with life in the past. Maybe as we're going on this journey and this path of life, we feel that our faith is not as strong as it once was. The battles we're engaged in, they seem to be harder and harder, and sometimes they overcome us more easily than in the past. Life appears to be overwhelming us. And we're not able to do anything about it anymore. But not our God. He is able to do above and beyond what we can ask or think. The wildest dreams that we have, God is able to bring these things to pass in our life. He surprises His people with the largeness of the answers and deliverances that He brings to protect His own. He is able. Yes, He is able to sympathize with His people. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 2, speaking about the high priest and about our Lord, it says, "Wherefore in all things it behove Him to be made like unto His brethren, the Lord to be like unto ourselves." Why? "That He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of His people." That He is able to understand where we've been, what we're going through, and therefore able to pray for His people. And then we read these words, "For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted." When we are in a tight corner and temptation comes upon us like a deluge, like a tsunami, when temptation comes almost with the power and intensity to overwhelm us, we can turn to one who knows where we've been and what we're going through. And He is able to succor us. He is able to present intercession and prayer as our high priest for the protection of His people. So we can go on. He is able to supply the needed grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, we read these words. As it is written, and verse 8 rather, "God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." There is an extreme use of language in that single verse whereby nothing is left out. At all times, in every situation, however varied it might be, there is this supply of the necessary and needed grace, so that we would not be overwhelmed, but being able to stand, protected and kept safe. He is able to sustain His people. And yes, one last thought perhaps before we move on. He is able to protect His people. Yes, there's a passage, is it in Isaiah 26, "Thou wilt keep thy people in perfect peace who trust in thee." The Lord is there promising and giving the assurance that he is able. He will keep in perfect peace. He will settle the mind and the spirit of his people. We've seen it and we've known it perhaps many times along the journey already. When sin has come to convict us, how have we been kept and protected and preserved by that perfect peace that God has provided through the death of his Son that we've highlighted at the beginning? When anxiety comes, Psalm 56, when I'm afraid, what do? I'll trust in him. When doubts come and assail us and afflict us, what do we do but we turn to the God who is the source of all truth? And so many more we can think of. But perhaps when death comes, when that day draws nigh, as Paul tells us, when he's got to cast off the lines and he's got to set sail at sea for the last time, there is no apprehension. There's no misgivings. There's no doubts. He will keep his people in perfect peace, even as they may go through that last experience, the hand of the enemy, meeting the last enemy, even death itself. The Lord here says he is able to keep. He is able to protect his people. So yes, we can look back. We can see many illustrations in our own life of this very simple truth underneath these many different headings. And it gives us encouragement as we go forward into the unknown year to come, and however long or short it might be for any one of us, God does not change. You sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why? Because I change not. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to help you. He will carry you through. The protection of his people. But the second thing I want us to take out of this verse and these verses is not only the protection of his people, but the persistence of his purpose. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That's one part of it, but why is he keeping us from falling? What's he going to do? He's going to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We were reading this morning of Isaiah 55 and the joy that is there expressed as the trees clapping their hands. Here we have that same expression of exceeding joy. The persistence of God's purpose. To present his people faultless. To keep them safe to that day. The day he's got his eye on. And the day that he's taking every one of his people towards. You remember the way in which this was brought out. And the way in which he was persistent in his purpose. When the devil wanted to have Peter. And the Lord there speaks about it. And he says, Peter, the devil's going to sieve you through a sieve. But I have prayed for you. Or again, if you come to John 17, and we read there the words that our Lord spoke in prayer to his Father. I have kept them safe when I was with them. But now I am committing them to you. The keeping safe of his people. Persistence in this purpose that he's got for everyone. He will not lose one single one of them. And also he will present every one of them perfect before his throne in glory. What a tremendous comfort and bulwark that is for every one of the Lord's people. The way in which we have a God who will not be deterred. Nobody will thwart his purpose. Nobody will spoil this intent that he's resolved upon and will fulfill. There is a persistence in what he is doing in the life of every one of his people. When you go through the book of Revelation, and we've got the letters to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3, when you come to chapter 4, there in chapter 4 and verse 2, we have the door opening. And what is it they see on the other side of that door? The church in these days, they see a throne. They were engaged in the work of the gospel and spreading it in a very hostile and difficult environment where death was almost round the corner every day for them. And what an encouragement it was to see that throne and what it represented, that there was a throne of a sovereign king over every lord of Rome or any other nation. There was a sovereign lord whom they knew, Jesus Christ, their Savior. And he was sovereign over all the events that came upon them, the providences that visited them, and the troubles they had to face every day. And the way in which that sovereign Lord would keep his people safe, persistent in his purpose. We are living in a world that is hostile. We're living in a world where there is so many pressures against anything Christian. Hebrews 2 and that chapter speaks about, we don't see everything underneath like they did in that throne in Revelation 4. We don't see everything underneath the rule of Jesus Christ. But we see him. We see him who is our Lord. And we see everything underneath his sway by faith. We travel through this world and we sometimes collect the dust of a day's journey upon our feet. But the Lord will wash away that day's dirt and dust. And he will have a people pure and perfect for himself. He has opened a fountain. Zechariah chapter 3 speaks about it. He has opened a fountain for cleansing of humanity for his people. And that fountain is filled with the blood of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we stumble, when any one of the Lord's people stumble, the Lord is not content to leave us where we've brought ourselves to be. The Lord will be at work in our hearts, our souls, because he's persistent. And he will draw us back to himself. And sometimes it might involve and require something severe and extreme, but it will be his purpose that will be fulfilled. It may be with a broken heart and it may be with bruised knees. But he will persist in drawing us back to himself. The world and the devil will not have the last laugh in the affairs of God's people. He has chosen his people. He has given them to his son. His son died on the cross for their salvation. And he has said he has lost none. Not one of them. Persistence. He will have his people to be with himself. We are told in Ephesians chapter 5 that he will present that bride washed in the blood, clothed in the righteousness, pure and perfect. And what are we told about them, about that bride? They will have no spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing. He will have his people perfect for himself to be with himself. And he has already gone ahead, and that was part of the reason for reading in Revelation 21. He has prepared a place where there is no sea, there is no night, there are no need for walls, where there will be no sin, nor anything that causes a tear in the eye of his people. There will be nothing to frustrate the purpose of the Lord in gathering every one of his people to be with him in that new Jerusalem, in that new heavens and earth. And the Lord himself will sing over them all. One of the minor prophets, the prophet Zephaniah, right at the very end of it in chapter 3 and verse 16, has a truly amazing image for us. There in that chapter, towards the end of it, there is a moment of silence comes in all creation. And that silence is broken by someone singing over the salvation of sinners. And who is it that is singing? It is God, who rejoices over his people. He has gathered them to be with himself. We see a reflection of this, but it's only a very vague reflection, in the behavior of the father of the prodigal son, the rejoicing that he exhibited and displayed when the prodigal son returned. We can see something and know it ourselves. The rejoicing after a day's journey, the rejoicing after a long journey, the rejoicing after the heat of a battle or a fight, the way in which when it's over, when we've achieved our purpose, we can be glad because we've achieved something. So it is with the Lord as he achieves and fulfills the salvation, the resolve from all eternity, the salvation of his people. He is persistent. He will have his people presented to and before himself faultless. We therefore can be confident, every one of God's people, we can be confident in God's ultimate purpose. All the resources of God are being deployed to fulfill that purpose. And it will happen. But we can also apply it in this way briefly. All of these other lesser purposes that God has for you and for me, whatever plan and purpose God has for your life or mine to achieve and accomplish, God will achieve that through us also. We don't know where we will be led. We don't know what we will achieve. We don't know what's yet in store for us, what we've got to do. But the one thing that we have confidence in is this. Whatever it is, as the Lord teaches us and guides us, prepares us and opens it up for us, we can go through it and into it with this same conviction. There's a persistence in his purpose through and for his people. He will achieve it, and he will do it through you or through me. Persistence in his purpose to bring his people before him faultless. And if that is our hope, and if that is our understanding, then truly there's work for us to be doing now. There is work that we've got to be engaged in. The very familiar words at the beginning of 1 John chapter 3, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That's the hope that the Christian has. But listen to the responsibility that quickly comes on the heels of that comfort when we get down to verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope in him," what does he do? "He purifies himself even as he is pure," to be like the Savior. So yes, we've seen the protection of his people. Yes, we've read about the persistence of his purpose. What does verse 25 bring before us now? Brings before us the preeminence in our praise. Preeminence in our praise. We've said society in these days will be looking back and picking out a person here and there. Somebody who's done something special and they're given an award and acknowledgement and they're up in the public eye for just even if it's short time. We look back. We're engaged in that reflection tonight and we'll be doing it perhaps in these next few days. But we look back and we worship the Lord for what He has done for His people. Salvation that He's brought to every one of His children. The one name underneath heaven whereby we must be saved. We sing His praises. And we highlight the wonder of His work. Here we're given several qualities about it. Briefly, let me just simply mention them in one word and sentence as we move on. Unto the only wise God. His wisdom is brought out. The perfection of the salvation that He has achieved and accomplished and planned. Nobody could conceive of such a scheme but God. Meeting every requirement of God's character, of His standard, of His regulation and of His law. Without any compromise to His character. Meshing together all of these qualities and demands. Without compromise to any one of them. The wisdom of God in planning salvation at the hand and through the life of His Son. We see it and we understand a little bit of it and we get more of it as we're traveling and as we're discovering more of God's Word and of His inheritance for His people. But the day will come when we're on the other side of death. The day will come then when there will be such a quantum leap forward in our understanding and our knowledge. Then we will see, as we've never seen till that time, the fullness of this wisdom of what God has done for His people. We've got a little of it just now. And because of that, He is in our praise preeminently. In our worship. To the only wise God our Savior be glory. All praise given to Him. As we unroll the pages of our life as we've been doing, trying to do tonight. As we ourselves can do individually ourselves tomorrow and tomorrow night. As we see time and again the intervention of God, the blessings of God. As we see time and again the way in which God nudged us this way, steered us that way. The way in which God was there every step we've taken. Time and time and time again. And every time we think of it and see it, deepens our praise and heightens our appreciation. Of what our God has done and what He is, means to us. We truly glorify Him. We acknowledge the majesty of His being, recognizing indeed that He is the one who rules. We've talked about a throne several times already tonight. The one who rules majestic over the affairs of men and nations and peoples. Yes, and even in our own lives, His majesty is seen. Dominion He has over all nations and peoples and beings. And He finally focuses and finishes with majesty, dominion, and power. The mighty exercise of God's resources, limitless in their ability, absolute in their authority. God's power deployed with a mighty hand, a stretched out arm, as we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 7. That power deployed for the good, the well-being, for the protection and the presentation of his people before himself. So therefore, as we go on, we're only a little handful of people, and we by ourselves, we can think of ourselves as quite small and insignificant. But we can encourage our soul, and we can get strength in our life when we remind ourselves of the greatness of the God who is our God. The contemplation, the reflection, the way in which we can think of our safety and our survival at the end. Left to ourselves, we would not survive but a minute. But the Lord is there keeping us safe day after day. We are in his hand and none can pluck us out. None can perish. We can ruin ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Christ indeed can redeem, and he will keep us. And one day he will present his people before himself. And that day will be a vantage point for every one of his own, when we see just how much we owe to him. And on that day, our worship will be preeminently his. And his. And on that day we will be saying, we will be singing something like this: My God, how great thou art. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, again we bless thee for the way in which thou dost open thy word, send forth thy spirit, give light unto our mind and in our soul, so that we might be able better to grasp hold of the scripture, take it to our life and apply it, and go onward strengthened in thy service. Lord, there is such a great inheritance provided for thy people, and we taste but a small corner of it just now. The prospect of it, O Lord, may it grow and grow with the people of the Lord, and may it strengthen us and encourage us for days to come. Bless us. Be pleased, O Lord, to be amongst us. Continue to preserve us and keep us safe, and in everything enable us and stimulate us to give praise and honor and glory to thy name. Through Christ our Lord we ask it. Amen. We close tonight by singing from Psalm 121. Psalm 121, I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy foot he'll not let slide, nor will he slumber that he keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not, nor sleeps. The Lord thee keeps, the Lord thy shade on thy right hand doth stay. The moon by night thee shall not smite, nor yet the sun by day. The Lord shall keep thy soul, he shall preserve thee from all ill. Henceforth thy going out and in, God keep forever will. Psalm 121, I to the hills will lift mine eyes. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.